find something of value.
There's a higher education community in South Africa, particularly on intellectualization.
How central this humanity is.
Welcome to The Academic Citizen. I'm your host, Mahite Kani. Would you like to come with me on another sonic journey? You might already have joined me on a listening experience in outer space. That was in episode 1 of this season. Or to Willow Road in 1960s Port Elizabeth. That was in episode 3. You might also have visited a colonial archive and a unique sound museum with Dr. Nosipho Mgomezulu in episodes 2 and 4 of this season. As we continue our exploration into the ways that sound can matter for the Knowledge Project, today we go into nature. Specifically, we're heading deep into the Antipodes, to green urban belts and wild spaces in Aotearoa, known in English as New Zealand. You might enjoy this little trip if you like nature, or birds, or children, or scientists, or any of the above 4 items. Our episode today features a talk by Karthik S.S., an acclaimed nature podcaster from New Zealand via the south of India. Karthik is the host of a Kiwi podcast called Tune Into Nature with Karthik, and he, like all of our other guests on this season, presented at the Sound Matters Symposium in 2023. Karthik is a graduate of the University of Otago's Science Communication Program and has a background as a filmmaker. It was during his science communication postgrad that he came alive to the potential of audio for communicating the natural sciences, and his filmic approach to podcasting will be evident in the clips that he shares. In his presentation, which you're about to hear, he tells the story of his podcast, how it came to be, and the science storytelling techniques that he deploys to much success. The podcast, Tune Into Nature with Karthik, has recently been named as a finalist in the Best Independent Podcast category at the 2024 New Zealand Radio and Podcast Awards. Congratulations, Karthik. You can find it on the same podcast platforms that you found us by searching Tune Into Nature with Karthik. Karthik is spelt K-A-R-T-H-I-C. Let's hear from Karthik now as he takes us on a guided tour of some special moments from the podcast, Tune Into Nature.
Good evening from New Zealand. It's great to be with you all and sharing about my podcast, which is called Tune Into Nature. So I'm going to talk about exploring audio storytelling to share about wildlife conservation, science, and also unique nature soundscapes. So what I'm going to do today is share about how I produce this podcast and also play little segments from my podcast, be it soundscapes or segments I think will provide insights into, you know, audio storytelling. So my background is I'm a filmmaker. So I completed a postgraduate degree in science communication at the University of Otago. I graduated with a degree in science and natural history filmmaking. So I'm originally from India, South India, and then I came to New Zealand to study. So when I came into study, I never thought about podcasts. I always thought I wanted to make films. In India, radio is a big thing because cricket is on radio, music is on radio, so news on radio, but podcasts not so much 5 years ago. So when I came into the course, I was never thinking about podcasting. So all I did was documentary films, make wildlife conservation films about nature and wildlife. And the course introduced me into podcasting. So then I got into collecting sounds and ended up making this podcast. But films-wise, filmmaking has been my pathway into podcasting and audio storytelling. So I made short films about yellow-eyed penguins, critically endangered. And there was a conservation dog here, which was trying to save those penguins. And that was my first short film that I produced. And I went on to work with a freelance production company based in Dunedin that makes documentaries for National Geographic and other broadcasters globally. So that was my introduction into sound. So when I also did the course, I learned podcasting. And when I went into the filmmaking, working with editors and sound engineers, I thought sound is a very important aspect of film as well. And whenever I went out filming, I also started noticing sounds. and the soundscapes. So we had a podcast assignment for a science communication course, and we were asked to include acoustic ecology and soundscapes. So this is the map of Dunedin. So that is the center city. And the highlighted portion is the city's urban green belt. So that's a patch of forest right in the middle of the city where I live close by. So while I was looking for stories, I found a researcher who was trying to understand how New Zealanders and also minority communities like immigrants and LGBTQ communities use and relate with urban green spaces. So I thought that'd be a great podcast idea. So I usually walk up right from the city to where on the edges of the town belt that I live. So I wanted to showcase this on audio. So what I tried was an interview with the researcher and taking us through urban green spaces and the research about she's doing surveys on how people like their green spaces and all that, and also featured a short soundscape composition. So I collected sounds in the city and also in the urban green space. So I wanted to give a audio travel, like virtually you travel through the city and then come into the green space. So I'll play that audio for you now. Just a heads up that there will be some construction noises because it has some noises in the city, and then it will transition into peaceful bird song. That was the soundscape composition. So I collected sounds from the city and also the green space, and I gave, like, edited them together to give a feel of what people might have listened to in the city and when they're walking up to a green space right in the middle of the city. So this podcast, this student assignment was picked up by Radio New Zealand to feature on their show Our Changing World. So that also inspired me to pursue further, go into sound recording and also collect nature sounds and see what stories we can tell with them. So that brings us to the Tune Into Nature podcast. So like many of us, lockdown was a hard time and I ran out of things to do. And from my home, we started recording sounds. So staying indoors and the city is quieting down, and there was all bird song. There was less traffic around. So that's when we started collecting sounds. This was in collaboration with Professor Nancy Longnecker at the Center for Science Communication. Started collecting sounds, and then we thought, okay, let us bring those conservation stories and wildlife conservation stories out to the people along with nature sounds. So we started with the concept of bringing outdoors indoors. So for people who cannot access those spaces due to lockdown or various other reasons. So the podcast shares unique nature soundscapes and wildlife conservation stories. And we started with a simple aim of informing and entertaining audiences. So just like a short film or a short documentary film, it should inform and also entertain audiences from diverse backgrounds about local stories. So our story was based around Dunedin City. So one thing I decided about my audiences were, because I was new to New Zealand as well, I was well into like 4 years living in New Zealand. So because I was keen into nature and wildlife, I knew how certain species or certain bird species look, but not the common people. So I also wanted to make these stories for the common people. So I always make sure to include descriptions of animals and habitats just to make sure it reaches out to people. So we also wanted to inspire audiences to connect with nature by listening to their natural sounds wherever, be it on a walk in the forest or a beach. And this project was developed in 2021 with collaboration with Professor Nancy Longnecker, Otago University Science Communication Department. And we got a broadcast to a community radio, Otago Access Radio. And we got some funding to start off a project from Otago Regional Council. And each episode features experts, field biologists, conservationists, community members, working on various wildlife conservation projects. So this brings us an authenticity to the voice that we are portraying in our stories. We are sharing the space with people for them to tell their own stories as well. And to provide an immersive experience, most of the episodes are recorded outdoors. So I carry out interviews out in the field where there is field work going on, out in the forest or out on the beach. It's pretty tricky because New Zealand is one of the most windiest places in the world. So you need to look out for those days where it's sort of reasonably calm and go out and record your interviews. And to create an engaging storytelling experience, like Emmanuel had pointed out as well, the interviews I record is for 1 hour or 1.5 hours long. But to create a narrative style, engaging storytelling experience, the interviews are edited for clarity. And most pieces are from 15 to 20 minutes max. And also I add insights, providing context to those listeners who might not be familiar with these wild spaces or might not have visited these wild spaces or seen these animals. And also to provide a visual picture. So one of the episodes that we dealt with was about New Zealand's smallest bird, rifleman, Titi Punamu, they call it in the Maori language. So it's just 6 centimeters tall and it weighs probably a couple of playing cards. That's how much it weighs. So there was a project going on to help them come back to a habitat that used to be theirs. So they put out nest boxes and seeing how these riflemen are taking up coming back to a base. So I like to play a short segment from that episode.
They have little or no tail, and so they are a little rounded, stubby bird, very discreet, quick moving, and easily missed. You know, many observers walking through the forest literally wouldn't see them, and their call doesn't help because it's high pitched, and it's beyond the hearing of many people, and you need good young ears to be able to hear it clearly.
With all the birds in the background, it could be tricky to hear it, but if you listen carefully, you will notice that high-pitched squeak.
And my hearing, for example, as I get older, it declines a bit. So I can hear some of the call range, but not other parts of it, which is a shame, but that's how it is. And when you see the bird, you will catch a glimpse of it flitting on the trunks, perhaps a little bit higher up in the canopy, and it's got a distinctive wing flick. It flicks its wings, flick as it moves. They've got a tiny thorn-like bill that curves up slightly, and you'll most commonly see them on the trunk. They come in low and then climb the trunk. They will feed a bit in the canopy here, but they like the trunks. And so this is really, if you look at it, it is just trunks everywhere.
That's a piece from that episode. And that's Shanta, you heard from him, was talking about the bird and how the bird looks and the call as well. I hope it was audible to you. It's a very, very high-pitched squeak that similar to a sort of a rat. So another bird episode that we featured was about robins. There was a scientific project going on to monitor South Island robins outside a protected sanctuary. So the project was all about banding these individual robins so that they can mark these birds. So to mark them, I think they'll have to catch the birds. So I'll play that short piece.
George and the team are trying to catch a male robin. He's interested in the mealworms and lands near the trap.
He's already seen the mealworms under the trap, and now it's a waiting game, really, to see whether he... So he's picked up the mealworm outside the trap and eaten it, and now we're going to see how hungry he is, and hopefully he'll go under the trap to get the ones that he's seen in there.
Hungry for another mealworm, he edges further towards the trap. George is holding the string connected to the trap, ready to pull it down if the bird goes in.
So he just put his head under the trap there, but he is quite cautious and he then backed out.
After a bit of contemplation, the robin decides to go for it. A quick hop and he's right in the middle of the trap. George quickly pulls the trap down and the bird is caught.
And then we get the robin out of the trap into a bird bag within less than a minute. You know, it's a very quick process for the birds.
So that was George telling us how she caught the bird. So it's on the trap. I think you could see a small net-like thing where you could let your hand in and safely retrieve the bird out. And after they get the bird out, they put bands on their legs. And this robin was a title of the episode, Black, Orange, Blue, Metal. So that's the bands on it. This is the first ever robin that they banded. So it's got black and orange bands on one leg and blue and metal bands on the other leg. So it's called black, orange, blue, metal. So it was interesting to share the story, and like they're monitoring how offsprings of this particular individual is doing. So it helps get a picture on these birds, on the population of the robin in that particular forest. Another episode, like we have featured a diverse number of voices, and one of the most inspiring voices that I had featured was school students who are planting native trees in the Dunedin town belt. I joined them on a planting session and I was interviewing them, and I asked what they're doing, and it's very inspiring, their voice. So I'd like to share a message of hope from them.
So one afternoon, I joined the students of the town belt Kaitiaki program, working in the forest that runs through the middle of Dunedin city. In the Maori language, Kaitiaki means guardian. So the students are pretty much the guardians, taking care of the town belt and spreading the word on its importance. So what are you guys doing here today?
We're planting a little fern.
Little ground covers and trees and stuff.
So we're planting a ground cover fern right here, but yeah. We've planted things like
lancewoods and
other plants,
so it's going to hopefully help support the local ecology.
This is Cameron and Anya, school students of year 6 and 8 respectively, and here's what they want to achieve.
Main goal is to make the town belt better than it is already, so and just trying to make sure everyone knows about how wonderful our town belt is. So it's like, because you never know, someone may stumble upon here one day and say, oh, cool, this is the town belt. I wonder what else is cool in the town belt. And just be able to enjoy this.
Yeah, so that message is always inspiring and gives me a lot of hope. And most of the conservation projects in New Zealand come along with the tagline, bring back the bird song, because due to introduced predators, many of the bird species are lost, populations are lost, so with them went the bird song as well. So I had this opportunity to record soundscape at a protected sanctuary where it might come close. It's not even close to the original soundscape. That's what experts say, but it's sort of close to what might have been the soundscape of New Zealand. And here's a dawn chorus soundscape. We don't get even a fraction of it outside the sanctuary. So it was so awesome to be able to be there with so many native birds in the morning. It was an early start, 3 a.m. start. I went out there and then it was 4 a.m. they start calling. And the thing with New Zealand birds is they finish calling really early. So we need to be up there before them. So that was a challenge on this one. So all this experiences inspired me to go. When I go back home, I also collected some sounds from home, from South India. Even me personally, when I think about home, I think it's always about traffic noise, but there's always nature around. And I was surprised when I listened to the soundscape, the morning chorus again. That's what morning chorus sounds like at my home. Only when I rediscovered listening through podcasting and recording sounds, I had the thought of recording audio at my own home and listening to the dawn chorus of so variety of so many species of birds. So it was great to be able to collaborate with these people and chat with them and interview them. So we've got recognitions. I think one of the highlights of this project so far is the Rifleman episode was featured on Radio New Zealand. Our Changing World is our science podcast on Radio New Zealand, which gave us a good exposure as well towards different audiences around New Zealand. So some of the listener feedback that we have collected through digital media about Armona salt marsh work, people telling that they found a great place and they will one day visit a salt marsh. and about dogs, informative and eye-opening, and about someone in the US commenting much of the restoration work here can be done in their own town as well, which is really, I'm grateful for these listener comments. And yes, please check out the podcast. Season 2 was out in December. I'm working on a few stories and there'll be season 2. We have collaborated with these institutions and it's been always great to collaborate with so many community organizations, governmental and non-governmental. So thank you. Thanks for this opportunity and it's been great.
One of the things that makes Tune Into Nature with Karthik a wonderful podcast, and there are many things, and please do go and listen to full episodes on their feed, is the special attention that is paid to recording and sharing nature soundscapes. Rather than simply telling audiences what is special about the natural environments or species in question, the podcast successfully shows, through audio of course, what is special by offering up immersive soundscapes recorded in situ. As you heard, the podcast was first produced during the pandemic, and one of its aims was to help people stuck inside during lockdown to feel connected to the great outdoors, to bring the outdoors indoors, as Karthik puts it. Tune Into Nature is always recorded outdoors. And by so doing, listeners are allowed to experience immersive bubbles of places and spaces that they might not otherwise be able to visit in person, whether it's because they're stuck at home in a lockdown or if they live on the other side of the planet. This reminds me again of the power of audio to create a sense of presence, which perhaps the visual has partially lost due to the general overstimulation produced by cultures of scrolling visual material on social media or binging visual material on streaming platforms. From the perspective of science communication, it is perhaps worth reflecting on how audio formats invite a powerful practice of listening. For example, when we were being introduced to New Zealand's smallest bird, the rifleman, did you also find yourself pausing to listen carefully for its subtle, high-pitched chirp? Whether or not you heard it, was it not marvelous to focus for a few seconds on trying to? Birdwatchers will tell us that a bird's call is just as crucial as its visual presence. Even if we can't see a bird because it's tucked away in some foliage, if we hear its vocalizations, we know it's there. By the way, check out Karthik's latest episode for another special insight into listening for birds, where we meet the Australasian bittern. Listening offers a whole different modality for learning about and appreciating the presence of other species, and should certainly contribute to growing conservation efforts. This acoustic approach to ecology offers new pathways for bringing communication together with science and centering listening in environmental communication. What forms of interspecies affinity might be achieved if we learn to listen more closely to nature? Perhaps we might be able to develop collective modes of care for other species and wild spaces just by learning how to listen for and perhaps eventually to them. This episode of The Academic Citizen was hosted by me, Mahita Ikani. It was produced and promoted by Fumani Jwara and edited by Andrew Burnett. The Academic Citizen is funded by the South African Research Chair in Science Communication, which is in turn funded by the South African National Research Foundation. We thank Karthik SS for his presentation at Sound Matters and for his permission to include the extracts from his pod on our pod. Please go and listen to his work by searching for Tune Into Nature with Karthik on any podcast platform. The Sound Matters Symposium was co-hosted by the South African Journal of Science. The opening jingle of our podcast was designed by Victoria De La Harp. You can listen to all our podcasts, including our archive of previous seasons, at www.theacademiccitizen.org. And you can follow us on all the socials at The Academic Citizen. We welcome feedback at our email address, theacademiccitizen@gmail.com.